certainly we're very much focused on getting more of our miners vaccinated. But we had, as you know, we had this discussion in 2012, and we came out with a compromise bill that the governor and I and the legislature all agreed to. We're in the early stages of implementing it, so we weren't really ready nor supportive of bringing this up again.
Well, why do you think that this has come up in the legislature right now? I mean, a lot of people point to the measles outbreak. You know, why do you think this has come up then?
Oh, I think that the recent measles outbreak in, of all places, Disneyland, certainly has heightened the awareness and the concern on the part of legislators, on the part of healthcare providers, and certainly on the part of the general public about vaccination policies.
What about the tuberculosis situation that we've seen down in Charlotte? Has that been any relation to this at all?
I think so, yes, but to a lesser degree. And I just like to point out that I came back from the CDC last night, and we had a very informative discussion about the Disneyland measles outbreak. And what they found in their studies is that 40% of the people, the individuals that got measles in that outbreak, were not vaccinated because of a personal choice or a philosophical exemption. But even more importantly, 40% of those that got sick with the measles were not eligible to get the vaccine, meaning they were likely too young or they were too ill. So, I mean, that's, in my mind, when you're talking about public health, though, we really need to protect everybody. And that's what vaccinating, the more people we vaccinate, the more we protect everyone, especially those under 1 year of age who are actually too young to get the measles vaccine.
Well, Dr. Chen, when we take a look at the debate that's going on in the legislature right now and the testimony that's going on, not only in the Vermont legislature, but across the country, some of the people that will argue that they want to keep this philosophical exemption will say it's a question of parental choice. I mean, should that be a part of this when you're saying we should be vaccinating as many as we should? I mean, obviously, some people won't be able to be vaccinated, but should this choice issue even come up?
Well, I think in our society, we clearly value choice to a great degree. But this is one instance where we absolutely have to balance the individuals who make that choice in terms of not providing that vaccine to the kids, but also to that other cohort, or the other group that either are too young or too sick to be vaccinated. So I think we clearly have a legal precedent to require things, whether it be seatbelts or not smoking. And I think vaccination, as it is in every state in this country, is a requirement. And what we're really saying is we require it, and we're very committed to improving the health of Vermonters.
Now, I know at one point, one of the bills that had come up, I'm not sure how recently, one of the versions of the bill would call for you to have the authority to retract the philosophical exemption if the vaccination rates fell under a certain percentage. Do you think that a provision like that is necessary?
Well, I think, I mean, to me, the idea would be to get more people vaccinated. I already have the authority that in the event of an outbreak, I could exclude individuals from school. So I'm not sure that it adds that much to what I currently have in terms of authority. But really what we want to do is prevent that outbreak, and that's what we're trying to achieve by improving our vaccination rates and having, and doing something like removing the philosophical exemption.
What are the risks if we don't vaccinate people? I mean, the vast majority of people are vaccinated, so what are the risks?
Well, you make a good point, and I want to stress that over 90% of Vermonters vaccinate their kids. So we're really talking about, the norm is to vaccinate. But the problem is that of that other 10%, they're not equally distributed. So there are schools with rates that are dangerously low. And in those schools, an outbreak could happen overnight. and that's the challenge of all these communicable diseases, is that you can actually spread it before you actually get sick.
I saw an item today that apparently Governor Peter Shumlin is now a little bit wavering regarding the exemption. He's now, rather than opposing it, he's now neutral, apparently. How significant is his change of opinion here?
Well, I think, let's be clear, both the governor and I support vaccination as an important thing for parents to do to protect their children's health. There's no question about that. He's vaccinated his kids. I think, you know, and I think really this is an issue that's not an easy one. And he's, at this point, decided to let the legislature take their testimony and act and see what they come up with.
Can I catch you on another topic very quickly? I saw you last night discussing Lyme disease. How great is the threat across our entire region?
Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses are a significant challenge to our region. And some of the highest rates of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses are found in New England. So we share that with New Hampshire, with Upper New York. And so I think it's important for us to pay attention to that and do what we know works in terms of trying to prevent it when the ticks come out this time of year. But also to ensure that doctors and nurse practitioners and other providers know how to recognize it and treat it early and treat it aggressively.
Dr. Chen, why do we have some of the highest rates?
Well, I actually don't know the answer to that. I think it really some of it may be related to climate change. I know that when I started practicing here in Vermont probably 25 years ago, virtually all Lyme disease was imported from the South. And as time has passed, that's come up north, and the reality is right now, again, that we have very high rates, especially in southern Vermont, but it's really everywhere in Vermont.
Do you find that people know about the situation with ticks and Lyme disease, or are more people apathetic or uneducated about the potential risks here?
Well, I think that we could always do better, and so this is the time of year where we want to raise people's awareness about ticks, about ensuring that they remove them and check for them, especially in their kids, and then to remember that they actually had that tick in the event that they do get sick, and so they can actually go and really lead the doctor to the correct diagnosis.
What are the symptoms of a potential Lyme disease problem?
It's always important to remember that you had a tick bite, to look for a rash, a circular red rash, and then to think about that if you get a flu-like illness at this time of year with a fever and chills and headaches and things of that sort.
What if you don't recall whether you had a bite or not? Does the rash look like other rashes?
Well, the rash is fairly distinctive if you have it, and that's it's just a red, a relatively large red circular rash. But if if you're sick enough and you spend a lot of time outdoors this time of year, it's certainly worth seeing your doctor and have a conversation and have them consider whether it could or couldn't be Lyme disease.
Now, is there any sort of vaccine against Lyme disease?
Well, we had a vaccine that was developed several years back, but it actually, because of side effects, it never had a really significant uptake. There is a new vaccine that's in the pipeline that they're testing right now. So I think we're all hopeful that a good, safe vaccine that has relatively few side effects might be one of the answers. But obviously, we're a few years off from that.